got the kids that just hung around and got older. So, looking at life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, we're going to be dealing with a different subject matter. We're going to be talking about traditions and the traditions clarification. And we're going to travel down this given road here to come into focus with what God has. We're headed toward Mark chapter 7. We're continuing in that journey. But as we look at the traditions and the value verifications, we've got several thoughts I want to bring to your attention. First of all, y'all remember the story of a man named Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah, it's a very important story because it was written in a time and period in which the children of Israel had acted wrong, sent away to a foreign country, and in that foreign country, God was beginning to speak to them in a special way. But they had one man, a teenager. When he kicked off here, he was a teenager who said, I'm going to live for God no matter where I am. And he did that. And because he lived for God, God used him, God raised him up, he became one of the strongest political leaders in the country. But why was there? People began to get upset with him because he was a Jew and he was in power. And so they started asking, what can we do with this guy? We want to get rid of him, but he's not done anything wrong. So they said, this is what we'll do. We'll do something against his religion. We'll trap him in his religion and we'll get rid of him. So we ask ourselves the question, how are we to characterize in our culture? How do people characterize us today in the culture in which we live in? Well, all of a sudden we see they went in and they passed a city ordinance that said if anybody worships any other king other than Nebuchadnezzar, they will be killed. I mean, they'll be thrown into the lions, then let the lions chew them up. That's how they characterize them. We'll get rid of them based on their religion. What happened? As soon as Daniel found out about the city ordinance, you know what he did? Did he run and hide? No, he did the same thing he did before the ordinance was written. Three times a day, this teenager was praying. Three times a day, this teenager that began to get stronger, he did the exact same thing. He prayed three times a day. And so that's what he did. And so in confronting the culture, he continued to do what he knew was right. He went and he prayed. Well, when that begins to happen, though, certain other things, the rage starts kicking in. And how are we clarifying the rage of the culture? Why are so many people wanting to destroy Christianity? The rage. So they went running to the king and they said, King, didn't you sign this ordinance? Yeah, the king, the Medes and the Persians, yeah. Have they got to do this? Yes. So they took Daniel. King tried to stand up for him, but he couldn't get it done because the rage was too strong. The rage went against Daniel, and so they took him and they threw him into the lion's den. Well, you know what happened? God brought over the lambs, lockjaw. Over the lions, not lambs. Whew, excuse me. And these lions, they didn't open up their mouth. In fact, in my mind, I can almost imagine that old Daniel just went over there and used one of them like a big teddy bear, just laid his head down and went to sleep. How are we living with conviction in the culture in which we're living in? For Daniel, it took him to the lion's den and God delivered him. For you, it's going to take you into a different position, a different place, but you've got to answer, how am I going to live with the culture? Now, when I say that, I'm carrying you back now to 2015. I'm carrying you back to a conference, and it's on Right Now Media. I can highly recommend that you get Right Now Media. If you don't, I'll be glad to help you get on Right Now Media and watch some of this stuff. And in 2015, America's Best Hope, there was a guy named Gabe Lyons, and he spoke on this, and he said that there's new rules of social engagement today. And inside of the social engagement, he said, one may not criticize someone's life, choices, or behavior. You ever run into that? Yeah. One cannot criticize without getting an earful. Let me put it that way. This is what's happening. The social is trying to create traditions. There's many elders who are trying to create traditions so that people will follow them, trying to change the way in which life and culture exist today. So therefore, if you criticize someone's life choices or behavior, that's they are seeking to have massive movements against that. Well, the first screen you can't see. Very light. It's a hallway. It's a hallway of an abortion clinic. There was Abby Johnson. She's written two books. She was a former abortionist and part of that system. And now she's her life has been straightened out. And she's writing books about what goes on behind the closed doors, so to speak. And it's kind of the, what in the article in which I read, it was one that says, here's the books, but if you read it, you may wish you hadn't read it. She used two illustrations out of it. One of them, there was a lady in about ninth trimester. She decided she didn't want to have the abortion, crying out, screaming. They dragged her in, they drugged her, and they performed the act. Another one, it was a lady who had been there 9 times. In so much that she'd been there 9 times, it was almost like a old hat to her. And so she said on the 9th time, said, look, I just want to see what's going on. And they did what they didn't recommend to do. They showed her the baby. When they showed her the baby, the parts brought together, when they showed her the baby, she went into hysteria. So much hysteria that for 2 hours she was there on the floor and she was crying out. They finally had to drag her out of the room and take her into the restroom area, where she instead continued to cry out, disrupting the whole place because of her agony. And finally they called her boyfriend and he came to console her. But they said they never saw her again. But if you criticize somebody's behavior, somebody's choices, then all of a sudden, what are you? That's what society and that's what a tradition is trying to tell us. The next guy that you see there in the bottom right corner, this is a guy that's over in Kentucky, 2012, a Kentuckian. Christian businessman Blaine Adamson has Hands On Originals. He makes t-shirts. And because he makes t-shirts, there was a homosexual group that came along and said, we want you to make t-shirts for us. And the guy says, I'm a Christian. And I will not do that. And because of that, they laid a lawsuit against him. 5 years later, battle going on in Kentucky, an appellate court. But what they did, they first of all, they sentenced him and they said, the Lexington Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission had found Blaine guilty of violating a local ordinance against sexual orientation discrimination. The commission then ordered him to print the homosexual t-shirts and attend diversity classes designed to indoctrinate him. So what am I talking about, a tradition? He fought it. He's a Christian. He fought it. Finally, 5 years later, after a 5-year lengthy battle, Kentucky appellate court recognized Blaine's constitutional rights and affirmed that Blaine is free to decide for himself ideas and messages he wants to express. He wrote, I want God to find joy in what we do and how we work and how we treat our employees and the messages we print. So if someone walks in and says, hey, I want you to help promote something, I cannot promote something like this, I tell them I won't do it. You see, there's traditions, but it's going against what some people are saying. You don't criticize my choice of my behavior. Preachers have a hard time with that one, okay? And then there's another tradition that's out on the scene. One may not behave in a manner that coerces or causes harm to others. Now, the others are talking about maybe a physical, but this is now dealing with emotional. You can get sued for emotional. Let me give you two exact illustrations. The illustration that we, first of all, the bottom left is a lady was threatened because she said, I'll pray for you. That's the truth. She said, I will pray for you. And all of a sudden, they went along and in the context, they said, you can no longer, she was specific. It said, in the context of separation of church and state, by the way, the woman, the person that she was talking to was a member of the same church. And so now a member of the same church, and all of a sudden they said, you can't do that. In the context of separation of church and state, this case prohibits public school-sponsored religious expression, the memo read. Therefore, in the future, it is imperative that you do not use phrases that integrate public and private beliefs when in public schools. She was also specifically ordered not to make any reference to your spiritual or religious belief. The district warned her that any additional infractions could lead to disciplinary actions and dismissal. She said, I was shocked that my employer punished me for privately telling a co-worker, I will pray for you. Ms. Richardson said, I'm afraid I will lose my job if someone hears me privately discussing my faith with a co-worker. They took it on. Now that school is going to have something else that they may need. And then on the bottom right there, the last one of these illustrations, bottom line. Now this is in Montgomery County, Virginia. Published March 19, 2017, says the sheriff was ordered on May 7th to remove decals bearing a portion of a well-known scripture. Here's what one of the sheriffs put on the back of the sheriff's car. Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. And because of that, the supervisors ordered that it be taken off. And they begin to go in and say, well, where did this come from? And one of the lawyers, the attorney, told them that the decals would be a violation of the First Amendment based on the current case laws because of the reference to Matthew 5:9. It sounds like Montgomery County Board of Supervisors is in desperate need of an attorney who understands the law. What are you saying? You see, one may not behave in a manner that coerces one or causes one harm to others. You can't tell somebody, I'll pray for you. You can't tell somebody, blessed are the peacemakers. You can't tell somebody that murdering children is wrong. You can't tell somebody, my Christian faith does not allow me to express and promote things that are contrary to Scripture. You can't tell me that. Now that's a tradition that's out there. But wait a minute. Are you going to be suckered into believing that? Because in this same, these illustrations were different, but this guy, Lyon, said, look, we need to start asking right questions. In the churches, Christians, now this is my comment here, Christians may be out of step with society, but they are in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, you've got to ask yourself the question, am I going to be in step with society, or am I going to be walking in step with Jesus Christ? So what's wrong? Here's what we get. We've got to start asking these questions. What is wrong? And when you determine what is wrong, then we have to step up and confront. What is wrong in your industry? We can say what's wrong in the world. Everybody could join in on that one. But what's wrong where you work, where you live, and the people around? And then when we figure out what is wrong, let's stop and confront. Secondly, what is confused? We need to clarify and compel. What does that mean? We need to rely on the source. What is confused? Did you know that many churches are confused about these subject matters? And why are they confused when the Bible is so plain? It's because they're getting away from the Scripture. They don't want to believe in the authority of the Scripture. They don't want to believe that all God's Word is Scripture. They don't want to believe that God's way is right. So what are they confused? So therefore, when you become confused, we need to clarify and compel and make a difference. Secondly, we need to begin asking in the churches what is good. Hey, look. If you saw a good football game, could you get excited? Or what about a good baseball game? Or a good basketball? What if you heard a good song? And you liked it. And you sang along with it. What if I told you the singer of that song was not a Christian? Would you still enjoy the song? Yeah. If it's morally correct. You'd still enjoy. You see, there's a lot of good things that are happening. The Christian church is not about saying, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. We need to celebrate what's good. When there's a scientific discovery, let's celebrate it. When they find the new moon, out there, man, let's get excited about that because they've seen something they've never seen before. When there's a cure to a drug, let's get excited. What do you say? Let's talk about what is good. Celebrate. Cultivate it. And then we need to ask ourselves, what's missing? What's missing? And then when we discover what's missing, let's create and become a catalyst. Let's ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? But are we willing to ask these questions? Are we willing to make these actions? Are we willing to say what's wrong? Are we willing to ask why aren't the churches confused? Why aren't people confused? Are we willing to say what is good going on and talk about it? Are we willing to say what is missing? Well, in this case, we begin to develop this thought in four areas that we're going to be talking about. Characterization, how are you being characterized as a believer? Confrontation, how are you going to be confronted as a believer? Clarification, what really is happening? And then finally, conviction. Do you have the conviction to ask these questions? Do you have the conviction to make a difference? Do you have the conviction to stand up and write them? Hey, do you have the conviction to get into politics? Run for a public office? Make a difference in the city or in the county? Or in the become a supervisor? Or become a congressman? Make a difference in the White House? You see, that's what we have to do. We have to ask ourselves the question. Now, do we know we're going to be characterized? Yeah. Let's talk about characterization here just for a moment. Why do Christians walk different in step than society? Why are you walking differently? Or are you walking just like everybody else? Can anybody tell that you're a Christian? Or are you just like everybody else? Fact about the matter is, when you walk with Christ, you're going to be out of step with society and their traditions. How does that begin to work? I know that's a little bit hard to read this morning. I hope you brought your Bibles. Because everything I'm about to read is coming straight out of Mark chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Mark chapter 7, if you pull out your Bibles, you can read it a whole lot better than what I'm about to read. In fact, some of that, I'm going to have to read it myself because our text this morning is a little bit small on the screen. So the scripture begins. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about characterizations. We're going now into the life of Jesus Christ. We're going to ask these big questions. Do we have the courage? Do we have the conviction? Are we going to be characterized? Are we going to be confronted? Are we going to make a difference in the world? Here's the Lord Jesus coming out. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they were to come from Jerusalem and had seen some of the disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many others which they have received in order to observe, such as washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" Frank, when you eat, do you wash your hands? You'd be good. You'd fit right in with these guys then. But you know what? When I ate Frank the other day, I didn't wash my hands. And you noticed that. You noticed that, didn't you? And you know what? If you'd have really been one of these strict guys right here, you'd have said, "Robert, what's wrong with you?" And why? Because that's what the tradition is. You're supposed to wash your hands. If you're going to be right, if you're going to walk, if you're going to be a God's man, you're going to wash your hands before you eat. Well, is that a tradition or is that just hygiene? Hygiene? Well, these guys, that was the code for them. If you're going to be the walker with God, if you're going to be different, then all of a sudden you got to wash your hands. If you don't wash your hands and you don't do like the tradition does, if you're not like everybody else, you must not be walking with God. So all of a sudden, old Frank would have said, "Boy, you backslidden." But he didn't say that. But that's what these guys would have done. But you know what? When Jesus says, "Now look, here's what the root of the problem is," and we're going to we'll continue on with our readings right here.
In verse 5, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? How are you walking today? Is it because mama said walk this way? Is it because dad? Hey, by the way, do you pray before you eat? Even in public? That's the right thing to do. But if you see a guy right next to you that doesn't pray before he eats, what do you think about him? Or not think about him? Okay, but anyhow, why did the season? Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions there? So here's what happened though. So we begin to clarify this thing. We're saying, why do Christians walk differently or walk different in the step of society? It's because of this. The path of the church is built on a foundation of truth, not to be altered by tradition. Whether I wash my hands or whether I do not wash my hands, that's not going to determine my relationship with Jesus Christ. And the traditions of the people of the society is not going to change my position with Christ. Therefore, when I ask these questions, can I criticize somebody because of their walk? Yeah, you see, that's the tradition of man, but what if the Bible says this is wrong? Are we going to walk with the traditions of man, or are we going to walk based on the truth of God? That's the only choice we got as believers. And you're going to be out of step with the culture of society, but you're going to be in step with God because you're going to be built on the foundation of the truth. So secondly, we got this characterization. We say if you're not like everybody else, you're different, then you can't walk in society and there's something wrong with you and you guys are a bunch of fanatics. Secondly, though, there's going to be confrontation. Whatever action you do, there's going to be some confrontations that's going to come out. And we'll talk about this confrontation by asking this question. Why is there confusion in the culture of the church? Why is there confusion in the culture of the church? I'd like to ask that question. Do you know why there's confusion? It's because many people don't understand what the Bible says. They don't understand what the Bible says because they don't read the Bible. And if you don't read the Bible, you're not going to get the conviction. If you don't get the conviction, you're not going to get the courage. And so therefore, today we need to be reading the Bible. But that's not what everybody's doing. That's not fun. It is fun if you get into it. It's right. It's counterculture. It's spending time with God. So there's so much confusion in the culture. It's because people don't know what God's Word says. If God's Word says it, that settles it, then you don't have an issue. Well, let's look and see what happened. Picking up with verse 6. He said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching its doctrine the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold to the tradition of men. Did you get it? What's happening now in many churches today, people are following the tradition of man and negating what God's Word says. Huh. I don't believe that. What about when the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy? What about when the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother? What about when the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me? What about when the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? What about when the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What about when the Bible says, thou shalt not kill? What about when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery? Or thou shalt not steal? Or thou shalt not bear false witness? Thou shalt not covet? Is any of those things? Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. We love God, but we can mess around. We love God. Oh, but we can steal a little bit. It's all right. They owe it to me. We love God, we just tell a little lie. Oh, we love God, but we'll just cheat on that test just a little bit. We love God, but we're going to go and we're going to tell our parents we did this when we did that. Oh, but we love God. You see, there's a lot of this stuff that's going on that people say, oh, we love God. But what happens? They say we love God with our lips. But they're following the doctrine, the precepts of men. And what the culture says and tradition says and God says, this is what you're doing. You're neglecting the commandment of God and you're holding to the tradition of men. What about when you say, oh, all my buddies are doing it? What about when you say, well, if I take her to that place that's kind of, I'm not going to go too far. What about when you, I'm going to carry on that conversation with this adult woman that's married to somebody else, and there's nothing wrong with carrying on a conversation. You see, all of these thoughts begin to go into something that's deeper, and you begin to say to yourself time and time again, well, it's okay. It's nothing really wrong with it. So all of a sudden, you begin to neglect the commandment of God and say, well, this is what society says, the traditions of man. Here's what happened. We went on in verse 9. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses says, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks of evil father or mother is to be put to death. Woo, buddy. Would that clean house? But I say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever I would help you in is Corban, that is given to God, you no longer permit to do anything for your father, for his father or his mother. That cleaned out a lot of adult houses. Thus, invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many such things as that. What? That's right. Taking the traditions of man. We owe our parents our love, our respect, our finances. We owe our parents that. Actually, it's not the job of the government to take care of our parents. It is our job. Now, we're living in a government that we do have ways and means. I'm not neglecting what the government does because of the society in which we live in. But not every society has this, folks. The responsibility is for us. We are too. But wait a minute. Other people are not doing that. Other traditions of men are not doing that. The precepts of God's Word, well, just push that to the side. No. You can rationalize. Tradition of men rationalizes just seeking to do away with them, invalidating the Word of God by their tradition, and then they begin handing it down to one generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. What are you talking about? We've got generations of people who won't hit a lick at work. And they've been taught that by the previous generation. That's been taught that by the previous generation. And so they pass down this tradition of man saying that this is okay, this is acceptable, when God has really said, no, wait a minute, that's not acceptable. Traditions. We've got to be careful for the traditions. For these traditions, invalidating the Word of God. So he goes on to say, why is the confusion in the church, in the culture of church? Because society, here's what society is doing. Society is seeking to devalue the Word of God. That's what society is seeking to do. If they can devalue the Word of God, then they can manipulate you in any way you want it. If all of a sudden you devalue the Word of God, then whatever you think is okay. If it's in your heart, do it. You better watch out on that one. Devalue the Word of God. You take away the standard of God. And then when you begin to devalue the Word of God, that's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They devalued the Word of God. God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree. And what did they do? They ate of the fruit of the tree. They devalued the Word of God. And if you begin to devalue the Word of God saying it's not going to apply to me, you're going to fall in the same category right here. And that's where confusion lies in the church. The church ought to be the place where there's no lies going on. Where there's no adultery going on. The church ought to be the place. But if we continue to devaluate the Word of God, then all of a sudden we come into this and Jesus says, look, you say you love me with your lips, but with your heart it's far away from me. And all of a sudden, now you've thought through this stuff, you've laid your traditions down, and you followed and you listened. You listened to what Orpha said. And she said, that's from my religious background, but you have to ask which religion she's talking about. You pass it down. Got to have a moment of clarification. Why is there so much rage with Christians concerning the rage of the counterculture today? I bring it to you like this, verses 14. And he called the crowd again and began to say to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand there's nothing outside of man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears, let him hear. I like this one. What does that mean? What does that mean? You can go out and you can eat raw oysters. Is that going to defile your body? No, especially if you've got horseradish. I mean, and whatever you eat there. You can eat chitlins. You ever had chitlins? I can handle the fried ones. But those boiled ones that are just lightly, I mean, but does that defile you? No. And so you see, it's not what you eat is going to defile you. It's not what you're taking in is going to defile you. But here, the disciples didn't quite get it. So we pick it up and the Scripture says, when he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable and said, are you so lacking in understanding? Do you not understand? Whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot defile him because it goes into his stomach and is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. So you can walk with God and eat all types of food. Food is not one because it comes in one end. That's right. Okay. All right. And so when we look at this though, he begins to boil it down with these words. He was saying, that which proceeds out of a man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed within and defile the man. So is it what went in? No. So why is there so much rage against the Christians? Because an evil heart seeks to destroy what it cannot comprehend. An evil heart seeks to destroy what it cannot comprehend. You see, inside of a Christian, there is a new walk. There is a new way. Hey, has anybody ever told you, follow your heart? Ooh, let me read that one more time. For from within, out of the heart of men, maybe it's because of men, but out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know the man of heart? Now, we can't just stop right there and take one isolated verse. We know what evil is trying to do, so we got to bring some conviction back into this picture. And we were bringing, how are we in living by conviction in the culture? How would you make a difference? What's going on in your life? And so therefore, I want to bring you back, I want to take you back several hundred years to a guy named Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, talking about the coming of Christ, he said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them out to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. What's the key words right here? He's going to make what? A new covenant. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their hearts, and I will write it and be their God, and they shall be my people. New covenant. Where is that new covenant going to be? It's going to be inside, written on the heart. Well, I thought the heart was deceitful and wicked. God is going to put something new on your heart. There's going to be a battle in your heart, yeah. But God's going to put something new there. Within your heart, He's going to write it down. And they will not teach each man, and they will not teach again, each man saying to his neighbor and his brother saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of these to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. All of a sudden now, you've got a new heart. All of a sudden, you've got a new law written on your heart. All of a sudden, now something begins to come out of you that was not in you until the new covenant was set up. What is that? John 7:38, He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Is that in a big contrast to what we heard about all the other stuff that was flowing out? Out of the heart now, something so unique. So how are we living by conviction in the culture? Courage comes from conviction, which is produced by the Word of God. He puts something in your heart. He writes it on your heart. It's a new law. It's a new covenant. And because of that, you have courage. Because of that, you have conviction. So let's try to balance these things. What about conviction? Why can you have conviction? Because you got a new covenant. Why can you have conviction? Because you got a new heart. Why can you have conviction? Because out of you comes living water. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But if you follow the traditions of man, this is what's going to happen. Oh, sure, you'll give lip service. You'll have an evil heart. And you'll be working in a broken world. Let's live by conviction. Let's live by conviction. So when we are characterized, let's walk on truth. When we're confronted, let's value the Word of God. When we need clarification, let's stand and not be moved by the tradition of man. When we need conviction, let's draw on the courage that comes from wording, reading and studying the Word of God and bring this courage so that we'll make a difference in the world in which we live. What's your takeaway? What's your takeaway? Do we follow the traditions of man or do we follow courage with Christ and conviction? You listen to the traditional man, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. But when you listen to the Word of God, it'll tell you the right way. And yet each of us have to make that decision. Let's pray. Father, as we battle the traditions of man, in which they try to tell us, oh, you can't speak truth. You can't tell people they're wrong. You can't tell people that the pathway they're walking, Father, that's false. Let us have the courage to say, thus saith the Lord. And when people say, you can't bring your stuff on me, you're going to hurt me emotionally, I'm going to sue you in love and in mercy, let us speak the truth. Father, we pray for a new heart with people. We pray for courage with people. We pray for truth with people. Father, we pray for the church to be very clear in their message. Let us celebrate the good. Let us confront the evil. Let us have courage to stand as Daniel stood and he prayed in the face of death. Father, I pray for our young people today. They'll get into the Word. And not let it be some historical lesson, but let it be the fire of Almighty God. I pray for the adults, Lord, that we will cast a shadow because we're next to the cross. And we stand upon the truth. And we will make a difference in the place in which we live and the house in which we live in. Father, I pray a blessings on the people. This day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share it together. Let's share these words. If you'd like to give your life to Christ, take it down front. If you'd like to pray for prayer, I'll pray.
in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Let's share together with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. God bless you.